Maxim knew something was wrong as soon as he walked into the sanctuary marshal's office. When the young desk clerk saw him, he immediately pretended to be busy. Inside, Cole and Gutierrez sat at their desks, speaking in hushed voices that quieted as soon as they noticed him. The marshal's office door was closed, which was never a good sign.
"Missed you at the crime scene," said Maxim.
Cole just shrugged. "I thought Coconino locked it down." The detective dropped his hat on his desk and scoped around to make sure no one else was listening.
"You know the drill, Cole. If I'm at the clubhouse, I want you or Hitchens to back me up."
Gutierrez chimed in.
"What about me, boss?"
"You can go to Starbucks."
The rookie laughed it off and faked a wounded look, but he wasn't really offended. Maxim's message was clear. If he was going to be surrounded by wolves, he wanted at least one of them to be wearing blue. Hitchens and Cole were the old guys, the veterans, but they were the strongest.
"I thought the Suns wouldn't give you any trouble," protested Cole.
"Hey man, I would usually think that too, but I won't get extra chances if I'm wrong."
Cole nodded. Motorcycle clubs weren't the most stalwart of friends, not to cops anyway. Boyd's door swung open and slammed into the wall, its fuzzy glass insert shaking within its frame. The young marshal marched out, scanned the room, and faced Maxim.
"Ah, Detective Dwyer,"
he said, pretending to be surprised at running into him. "I'm glad you've returned. What's your assessment?" Maxim noticed Cole and Gutierrez sit up straighter.
"It was a shootout. Ballistics should tell us a lot."
"I'd rather not wait for all that. The autopsy may confirm or deny anything we have. But we need to take action before that if we mean to prevent a gang war." Marshal Boyd approached Maxim.
"Do you think it was the Seventh Sons?
Killing their own? That doesn't make any sense. Besides, they're locked up in New Mexico."
"They were released several hours ago. NMSP notified me of the incident."
"Which was?"
"They were just held under suspicious circumstances and questioned. They were released without charges." Maxim snorted. Diego had been right when he said that nothing would come of it.
"Well, give me the timeline for that so I can rule them out. I don't think it was them. Diego was the first one back and found the body."
A voice came from inside the private office.
"Why wasn't that club member brought in for questioning?"
A man in a light blue Oxford shirt and white tie emerged from within. He was a Mexican man, almost 40, judging by the gray on the side of his head and peppering his mustache. His hair was shorn short and clean, except for the top of his head, where it was a little longer and spiked up. The man had a big nose and a strong brow line with deep, dark eyes. They stared at him accusatorily. Maxim turned to the marshal.
"Who's this guy?"
Boyd didn't answer. The man did.
"I'm your new best friend, detective. I'll be assisting you in the investigation."
Maxim refused to face him. He searched Boyd's blue eyes for the answer. With a resigned breath, the marshal said, "This is Special Agent Raymond Garcia of the FBI." Raymond put a hand out and Maxim shook it with the minimum required cordiality.
"Maxim Dwyer."
"I know you," he said. "Small-town detective takes down the Paradise Killers. That was impressive work."
Maxim nodded plainly. He didn't tell the man that he had also outed a rogue CDC agent. A sanctuary had been exploited by the feds before. Maxim knew it was a cliche, but he didn't trust the FBI.
"No offense to either of you," said Raymond Garcia, "but I'm surprised you've stayed at this small station. You could have leveraged that case into a career anywhere."
"Well, no offense," countered Maxim, "but what the hell are you doing here?"